W-8-F-U-N-8-W-R-O, up north.
Good morning. Just on my way to work. How about you? I heard something north. Not sure what.
Morning, John. This is Tim in Richmond, N-8-W-R-O. Nope. No more work for me. It's been 15 years for that. You're a little early this morning, I think.
Okay, I thought I heard you say something about north. I don't know. I didn't have the volume of all that high. Of course, I know your call, so I didn't have to really hear that. But, yeah, a little bit. I got to stop at the bank, pull out some cash. Ooh, is it? Hold on. CTS. Nope. CTS wagon. Man, I missed that car. I wish they still made it.
Well, it's going to be interesting what Wally and those guys see over at the cruise on Saturday. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of classics out that way.
Are you joining the festivities? You heading out there as well?
No, unfortunately, I got a family thing this weekend coming up that precluded me from joining. So it's just going to be Dave and Wally, and then two of the memberships. So at least we have a presence, and you know we can give the radios a workout and see how things go. It's looking good, I guess. I'd like to see the aftermath of that and what we can improve for next time.
Yeah, very good. No, it's it's the first time in years that we've collaborated with one of the neighboring counties, so that's cool. Yeah, it's all good, man, little strides. I know Dave and Mike tend to get impatient about progress, but they're doing great. It's moving in the right direction. And, the problem in this hobby is finding able-bodied people to deploy. It's all great, working from home, but deploying is really the meat of it. That's what you need. So finding deployable folks is tough.
Indeed, yes. And I'm not sure if you heard, but I am working on the old trick from the old days of doing the postcard invite. So I had a bunch going out yesterday and the day before. We'll have to see if we get like a return on investment on that. And we're shooting for newer hams. And that might help the deployability factor if they actually work. And then the last thing would be if you're a new ham, we're just going to give you a welcome. Welcome to ham radio or amateur radio service. And, oh, by the way, this is what we do, stop in on the website type thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to do the same in the technical end of things. I'm trying to find some younger guys that might take the torch, because I'm going to retire not too terribly long, and I'll still work on this stuff for some time. It's not like I'll I'll just be done with it, but regardless, there will come a time where we'll need somebody to take the reins, if you will.
Yeah, indeed, yes. Yours is definitely more of a technical job that needs that, kind of a curating of a replacement. I did do 25 on the regular plan and then 5 years on the drop, and then 2010 I was out with 30. But in my case, it's just the next guy filled the spot. So, jump in, John, or Sean. The water's fine. It's time for you to retire soon, maybe.
You talk about 25 and a drop. Did you work for my employer?
Yeah, that's correct. I was, let's just say, the building next to you. I did my time there. And, of course, we're talking 15 years ago, so, you know, partner at the time was Steve, who recently retired, a couple of grades higher than what he was when I was there. Walt, Brenda, John, and, of course, Michelle was there. Kent, of course, was 102. Quite some time ago, but, yep, I was there.
Very cool. Hey, let me do the ATM thing here, and I'll pick up on that in a second. I got to figure out what's going on here with my... I put the wrong card in. Anyhow, I'll be back. I'll be at a few...
N-A-W-R-O.
Man, I was hoping it wouldn't do that. I put the wrong card there just by rote, and I thought it would give me an opportunity to pick the account. It didn't. It just spit out the cash, so I mean, it's not a problem. I know I got it, but I would have preferred to pick where it came from.
Well, I thought it might have been worse than that, that they kept the card. Sometimes it keeps the card if you, you know, get the wrong pin in, but at least it wasn't that.
Yeah, the problem was is I was trying to, when I realized I put the wrong card in there, I was trying to get it back out, and I couldn't see any way to do it. I hit cancel, I tried a couple other things. I said, okay, well, I'll just go through with it. It's the same bank, both cards. I just wanted to use, you know, the right one. So I said, well, it'll probably give me the choice, because if I use the other card, it gives me the choice. So I'm going to remember to just use the other card from around, because I think it gives me the choice of what account. This one here just, you know, I said, give me $100, and I just get it out. And I'm like, I still have no idea where it came from. And, you know, not that it's a big deal, but it's just like, damn it, I'd like to know where it came from. If they spit out a receipt, I'll be able to look at it and figure it out when I get where I'm going. But anyhow, yeah, okay, real good. I think we had this conversation before. Where did you work? You know, did we ever cross paths as far as you know, or, you know, who knows, right?
Well, I'm sure we did, but I'd probably best save the conversation for off-air. But, yeah, we certainly crossed paths before. Also, I had a buddy that I'm still trying to get into ARPSC. His name is Gary. He lives in Utica, just retired from Stellantis. And Gary used to work in your shop back when it was in the basement of MS. That was a long time ago, though, in the 90s. And I'm wondering if you might remember Gary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gary and I talked occasionally. He stops in every now and again, but not too often. But I did hear he was at Stellantis, and I did not know he retired. But, yeah, very good. I'm surprised he's not in it yet.
Well, he is my recruitment project, because we went to high school together so many years ago, and he was at the first meeting when I think it was April or March, I can't remember. He came with me for the first meeting. It hasn't been back since because his better half, Carol, has got him busy since retirement, but you would think it'd be a great time, retirement, and then come on in and join the hobby. He seems very interested in it, so I'm not giving up yet. I think I'll be able to get him back in.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be a stretch for him. That'll be easy for him. He's just got to really do it. And a lot of guys don't know. You know, they know what it was like in the 80s and earlier, you know, in the 90s. They don't realize how much the bar for entry has changed. That's obviously changed.
Well, for him, I liked it. He drug me down to, in 92, I think it was, drug me down to an exam in Clinton Township. And we ended up getting sequential call signs. So his is one right in front of mine, N-A-W-R-N. And I thought that was pretty cool. So he did that for me. I'm trying to get him the other side of work. Once you're retired, I'm trying to get him back into the hobby. And, yeah, he wasn't used to nothing digital. fact, when you worked for your shop, you guys didn't have anything digital back then, all UHF, I think.
Yeah, he predated me. He was there in the 80s. I started in June of 90. So going on 35 years just passed. But he even predated me there. So I don't think by a lot. But okay, so he's already got his ticket. That okay, very good. I did not know that. So really, it's just a matter of blowing the cobwebs off and getting them involved. Tell him Sean said, get your butt in here.
NAWRN, if you're listening, hear what Sean says. This is NAWRO.
Does he have a radio? Does he listen?
He could be. He's got a couple of HTs. I got him one, and he had another. So, you know, he's working on it. I'll get him in. He enjoys, I kind of forward him Dave's emails, and because he's not on the list yet. It'll be just a little process, but we'll hook him in eventually, I'm sure.
Well, there you go. All right, cool. I did not know that, so WRN. Get him fired up. Very cool. Whereabouts is he? You know, he within the footprint of the network. Is he? I think he said he's Shelby-ish or something.
He is in downtown Utica, and he should have a straight shot to the UMP, I guess, or the 7.2. I would think he'd be able to hit it even with an HT, right?
Yeah, he should be okay from Utica, so it is a little funky. It's a spot that's, depending on where you're at, can be a little tricky, but right there is usually pretty good. So, all right, cool. Other than that, got lunch with Motorola today, and then I got to try to get out early. I'm going to pick up I didn't realize they made these. They make tents for generators. I bought a new generator, and I found a tent for it. I'm going to go pick up.
Oddly, you mentioned that. I have a tent for my Champion generator as well. I haven't taken it out of the box yet. I'm waiting for it to be actually used. But, yeah, that would come in handy because the first time I actually deployed it, it was naturally raining cats and dogs, and it was out there getting wet. So, yeah, for birthday, I think it was last year, the kids got me the Champion generator. And it does fit together fine. It can be deployed in the middle of the night in the dark. It's it is a good solution for that because you really don't want that thing getting soaked like that.
All right, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. Yeah, I noticed mine last time I deployed. It was just getting soaked, and you know, I cleaned it. It's brand new, and so the next day when it was nice out, I cleaned it all up and everything, and I thought, you know what, there's, until I have a better solution. Then I saw those, and I said, oh, well, that's a clever idea. You know, the only thing I worry about is, I'm guessing if you have a newer Champion, you probably have that carbon monoxide sensor. And I'm worried, does the fume somehow maybe get trapped in it underneath it and cause that to pulse? I've heard horror stories of, those things pulsing and causing grease.
You know, I'm going to have to double check, but mine's, I think, about 3 years old, and I don't think it has the CO2 detector, which, I understand why they put that on there. But for me, I know not to start it up in a garage and keep it going inside, so I'm kind of happy mine doesn't have that. But I think yours is a little bit, got a little more power to it. Mine is the inverter type. That's what I look for. I'm curious if yours is the inverter style. Open frame inverter.
I had issues with mine being too close to the house with that CO2 sensor, carbon monoxide sensor. Right. Yeah, Tim, I've got the Champion. It's a 9,000 running, I don't know what it is, or 9,000 starting or cranking or whatever, starting. And then 75 running, but I run it on CNG, so, you know, I get the lowest BTU of all the fuel choices. But it's fine. It still gets me in the 7,000, you know, range, and there are 6,000, 65, I don't know, but it's more than ample for me, you know, and I don't want too much, right, and this one's borderline too much for me, because then you're just, you know, wasting gas. Well, Dakota, that was my concern, hold on, yeah, my concern was that CO2 sensor and where I run it and all that stuff, and I'm thinking about getting one of the little temps for it. Tim and I were just talking about that. And, you know, I wonder if that would be a problem. So, oh, well, we'll see. There's all sorts of things online about how to bypass that sensor. But it's not easy, from what I understand. Go ahead and throw one in past the temp. Bad time, and I'm in the hole. Good morning, guys. I just wanted to throw that out there. Ultimately, what I found I had to do, I just had to move it about 2 to 3 feet away from the building so the fumes kind of air through. I mean, you would think open driveway, right? Closed garage door should be an issue. So the only thing I could say is if the tent got sized, maybe if they roll up or whatever, just whatever way the wind's going, keep those up, which I guess at that point kind of defeats the purpose. So I don't know. I get the safety side of it, but, you know, it's like a warning label. Kind of got to weed those people out.
Yeah, that's true. I got to double check. I don't think mine has much of a side. It's kind of like almost like an umbrella. I'll have to double check, though. But, yeah, if I don't have that sensor, then I guess I won't have to worry about it. But, Sean, I know you got a separate panel for yours. I did the disconnect method. And, yeah, I can power everything up except the anything 220 we're not touching. And I just, when it's on, I just put one breaker on at a time and just tell everybody, don't use a heating element or something. But even that, it would still work. That's basically it. And Dakota, I'd be interested in how you connected yours to the house when it comes around to you. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, yeah, it is. It's more like an umbrella. They do sell a storage kit that adds curtains that come down. You can buy for an extra $25 or something, and you can use it, you know, for storage, which I may do. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I've got a load side transfer panel, you know, which has all the. I just pick, you know, X number of circuits out of my box and I jack into that, and then I just toggle the switch, and they switch from main box to the generator box. That's how I'm doing it, Dakota.
Conveniently, my electrical panel's right next to the driveway, so I put a 30-amp back feed into that panel on its own breaker. I flipped the ad. I forgot what the hell it's called, the disconnect. Me and my electrician buddy that works for me, it's kind of hard to do stuff in a timely manner, so he's got a put that in, but yeah, so I kill the main, and then same thing you do, put, turn on whatever I want, and then back feed it into the house. So it's convenient. I got a whip right there that I just roll it out, start it, plug it in, it's done. Yeah, it goes without saying, though, just be careful of that, that outlet, or I should say inlet, because if that's hot right now, yeesh, that's definitely not good. But it sure does work. I tell you what, it was 3 years ago. We had a two-day outage, and my daughter and they were here working from home. And once I fired that baby up, they could continue with their work because the internet was working fine. It's just I didn't have, you know, power, and so they could continue with both their jobs at home, during a two-day power outage. So it did come in handy. It does work. And then I use it for the good old days parade. I've got a family member that's involved with Hamlin Pubs. And to get its workout, its test, every year, coming right up next month, it's going to go on the back of a pickup truck for their float to power their music. So it works out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be without. In fact, I've got a good one, you know, that was just getting tired. It was a non-inverter Generac, and it was only 4,000. Derate that, then again, because I'm running compressed natural gas. So I was a little light, and it wasn't an inverter. New one's, you know, inverter. It's got all the power I could possibly want. It's quieter, even though it's an open frame. So checked all the boxes, and it's factory tri-fuel, as opposed to, I had to get the other one. But I'm curious, was yours a tri-fuel, or what do you run it on? Do you run it on gas? W8FU. NADVF, go ahead.
Yep, no, mine's just gas. It's the one thing I was looking at. It's only gas. You get 4 gallons. And I forget how long 4 gallons last. It's like 12 hours, I think, or maybe even more. I'll have to check that out. But I did take a look at that, and I just ended up pulling the trigger on gasoline only.
Starbucks window, I'll be right back. So it sounds like we all have the same similar model generator. I think I got the same one as Sean, except mine's not tri-fuel. Yeah, the 30-amp inlet is not hot. It's on its own breaker. It just doesn't have the disconnect inside, which I'm the only person that touches that panel, and I know better. But it's one of those things. We bought the house, moved in, didn't have power for 3 days. I think it was our first, like, 4 or 5 days we were in the house, and I ran up to Tractor Supply, and that's what they had, and it was, of course, a frenzy because everyone was trying to buy a generator. So I ended up buying a bigger one than I initially wanted, but I'm not mad about it. And I think we've been in the house a year this month, and I think I've used it one time since for a couple hours and haven't other than that. So probably should pull it out and fire it up, but I do keep rec fueling it. I've had good luck with all that. My small motors, never had to worry about them firing up and whatnot. I think I only have maybe 16 hours on that generator.
Yeah, at the end of the season, I actually, it's got a valve on it. You can shut it off. But I actually let it run dry, siphon 99% of the fuel out of it, tip it in such a fashion as the tank is draining towards the hose, and just let it run dry. Just let it, and then store it for the wintertime, you know, with nothing in it. But yet, I still have fresh fuel, you know, in case we do have a outage during the winter. But, yeah, I'm happy to have it run through its courses for about, you know, I don't know, 3 hours during good old days. That at least it gets its exercise once a year.
I bought mine, and I think within a couple of days we had a outage. About 3 hours, wasn't a huge one or anything. And I've had another one since I bought it. I've only had the thing, I think, less than 2 months now. You know, 2 months tops. And I've had two outages. One was middle of the night. Well, not the middle of the night, at bedtime. And I could have probably left it off, but my wife was still up and watching. She wanted to finish watching the program and some other stuff. So I said, to hell with it, fired it up. But two outages. Thank you. Take care. Anyhow, I'm done with gas. I got my little Forte, and I'll get that all probably converted back to only gas. I don't know. I've been thinking about running propane too. I'm not good with it. I'm just not responsible enough. I always forget, and I leave the gas, and it gets skinky, and you know, and carburetors give me trouble, and it's just because of the way I am with things. I'm sticking with gas for the new one. You know, natural gas. I don't know. That's a shortcoming on my part. Not really an indictment of the fuel system.
I used to have so many troubles with small motors and gas until I discovered Breck Fuel and Stabilizer that it's an obsession. I haven't had any issues, but I would like to have a natural gas tap there. I think that'd be kind of sweet, especially for longer outages or in the event that fuel is in a shortage. It's not like I'm super close to anything. I got a gas station not far away, but it'll probably be the first one that runs out for us people out in the boonies. It's funny because I came from Armada, where I feel like we lost power every week, to I live in the middle of nowhere now, and I've lost power 2 times in 1 year. Of course, the premium solution to it is one of those Generac automated things, but that's the price point on that is just way too much for me. And then the other decision I made was like 3 years ago when I got mine, probably oversharing here, but I'm on the CPAP machine. I've been on it for many years, and I found out I cannot sleep at all without that machine, even sitting up in a chair. So it was like, okay, I gotta deal with this. So I ended up getting the Champion. Yeah, there you go. I wouldn't go any other way. With my finger's tapping, and you know within 15 minutes if it ain't back, it's like okay, it ain't a quickie, and I fire up. I don't wait or nothing like that. We like our power. And yeah, the natural gas is sweet for that. Now I understand during the blackout, they were even having a little trouble delivering natural gas, and they were worried that if it went long enough, they were going to have some trouble just because of the demand on it. And and then of course they had to keep all their pump stations running and all that stuff. So that's not an end all in a real EOW situation, but for anything we would like to encounter, it's the shiz. I never have to think about or worry about gas, which is nice. I just hook the cord up, flip the valve, and then I can use that valve for my barbecue if I want in the backyard, if I want to convert. And I'm thinking about doing that because why go buy propane? Yeah, that would be the way to do it. If you got your little barbecue area over there, and you can just either have a T-valve on it of some sort, or just flip back and forth between the two. I imagine flipping back and forth between the two is not a big deal, because you're going to use your grill probably way more than you're going to use your generator. Maybe I missed it, Dakota. When it comes back around to you, are you on propane out that way, or do you got natural gas as well? Go ahead, Sean. I'm going to pass it right over to him and say I'll catch you guys in a few when I've got to transition into the shop. So I'll catch you on the portable in a few seconds. Go ahead and carry on. W8FU. Have a good day, Sean. I'll catch you later. I'm fortunate enough to be on natural gas. I don't have to deal with pigs or anything like that, thank God. We're 53 in Dryden, just west of 53, so we're out there, but we're not remote to where I gotta have propane pig. So I too am here. I'm gonna clear out and jump inside, but good talking to you guys, and I'm sure we'll pick this conversation up another day. We didn't even get to the battery part. Everyone have a good day. NADBS. All right, sounds good, Dakota. You have a good one, and you as well, Sean. I'll be listening. This is NAWRO, Richmond. All right, I'm on the handheld. Why is it beeping? I'm on the handheld now. Hopefully, I'm coming through. Yes, the battery part. I got UPS question. All right, catch everybody later. To be in a few.
Mobile, Traverse City.
Well, you're making it from Traverse City, Drake.
Oh boy. Where are you off to today, Jeff?
Oh, back to Canada again. Yay. How about you?
Headed to Kalkaska to add their door access to their console, since UPS is going to be there today, so we can teamwork stuff and make stuff work.
Oh, there you go. How's the repeater sounding in Traverse City?
Which one? Which one?
Yeah, oh, I see you're on yours. I thought maybe you were on Lovering. But I see you got yours linked in, so. Right there in Traverse City. Probably why it sounds good.
Yeah, one would think. So. No, I'm not able to hear the Lovering machine at my place. Even if I wanted to, I probably couldn't. That's quite a distance.
It is. It definitely is. But then you're here in Bay City and Mackinac on VHF. Band enhancement. So that sounded better when I turned Mackinac off, huh?
Yeah, but it didn't make a huge difference because Mackinac, because I heard it when you brought it back on because it said on. It was really, really weak compared to Bay City, so it didn't really make a whole much of, it didn't make a huge difference, but it made a difference.
Talking about the winding the signal. I'm wondering if there's another, I wonder what IR8 uses for PL. I can't hardly believe that they'd be using 131.8.
No, they're using 94.8. And that's the, I think that's the Lymington machine. That's the furthest north 31 they have.
Yeah, but that was like 170 miles or 160 miles or something from Mackinac, so. Plenty far enough away.
I wasn't able to hear it on the base station when IRA was keyed. Because I was hearing traffic on 145.15, because that's the Traverse City link. And, yeah, I wasn't hearing anything on 3.1.
Cool. Yeah, guys were just in here a little while ago. You just missed them. Good morning. The morning crew.
I heard them. I was just about to leave for work. So I just didn't really have a chance to get in there.
Sometimes there are some stragglers that stick around, but usually everybody talks till they get right to jump to work to jump out of the vehicle, so. There's always people listening too, you know.
Yep. That's for sure. Holy cow, man. This light here at, what's this, Burnley and Garfield is just taking forever.
Yeah, how'd you make out in Lapeer yesterday?
Oh, their repeater's cooked. It wasn't even showing an alarm that the PA was dead. It wasn't showing any alarm for reduced power or anything like that. But I put a power meter on the output of the transmitter, and I thought my meter was broken because the needle didn't move when it would go in the transmit. And I was like, all right, sanity check. I checked their other repeater, pegged the needle right at 100 watts. I was like, well, that answers that question.
Huh. So it was a dead amp?
Yep, and unfortunately it's an MTR 2000, so we can't get those repaired for them. They just got to replace it. It was actually still programmed for wideband. It was not reprogrammed when they went to narrowbanding, which explains why when they use their tone remote base station that goes right into the back of the repeater, explains why when they talk kind of up on the microphone, it cuts out on all their radios, because the radios are programmed for narrowband, and the repeater is transmitting wideband.
Oh, man, another Jet UHF. You said UHF, right? MTR 2000?
Yeah, but from what I understand, it was not treated nicely, so I'm not too surprised. I heard how much they chatter on that thing, and I'm surprised it didn't die sooner.
Yeah, so what? Now you got to go back with an SLR and replace it?
Yep, that's the plan, I think. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but it'll happen at some point. The heck is Leelanau Sheriff doing in Grand Traverse County? Anyway, so, yeah, that was probably the highest security building I've ever been in my life. The whole procedure to get me into that building to where I had to go took like 30 minutes.
Well, you can drop it off on the way back north after you remove it. I'll add it to the pile. Parts. Oh, man. So you feel violated with the cavity search?
Hey, you didn't quite go that far, buddy. We got close.
Man, there's always something. Hopefully the room was at least temperature controlled.
Yeah, it was. It was where all their servers and stuff are for the building, so. And that's actually where a lot of their HVAC stuff is, too, so that helps.
Ready? Well, that was a nice day for a drive yesterday. I didn't hear you going back north, so. Must not have had any issues.
No, I cruised right along. I just took 75 all the way to Grayling and then hopped on 72 and boom, boom. So, yep. That's all fun stuff. So, then tomorrow, oh shit, I got radio installs to do tomorrow. Don't pull out in front of me, dude. That'll end badly for you. Got radio installs to do tomorrow, and then Thursday, I've got PMs for the Mackinac Bridge Authority. I don't know what's going on Friday. So, still a full week.
Oh yeah, where's their system at?
Yep. Oh man. Well, I'll see if I can, I'm probably going to try to whip up an APRS machine for levering at some point. Whatever other, I got a desk track I can set up as a GMRS machine for over there. Yeah, I do. I can do that with that. And if it dies, I'll find something else.
Yeah, I would set it to at least half power. You guys get on there, they do get talking over here, link it into the MIA, but they do tend to talk sometimes. Do you get to go on top of the bridge? Do they have something up top to kind of be PM'd?
No, unfortunately. Their repeater is actually on the St. Ignace side. It's just a tower that's on their property.
I've always wanted to go up on top of the bridge. I think that'd be really neat.
Yeah, I've always wanted to too, but I haven't had that opportunity yet. Maybe at some point though, but I doubt it. I did notice that there's a 4-bay chilling up there. I'm actually really surprised that the Bridge Authority didn't just stick their repeater up there because they can.
Yeah, well, I know whose 4-bay that is, VHF. It's in the 170 band. So they can probably figure it out from there. It might have, not been really the right spot for the bridge. It, I don't know. Probably wasn't worth the effort for. They wouldn't have gained nothing over what they have now because they're underneath it, so, you know, it's only like they really need to cover 6 miles there, probably, give or take.
Yeah, that track. All right, I'll be right back. I'm just pulling out my first stop here. Thank you, Mitch.
Give me the dust over here.
KCA-CSU.
Any DMH mobile.
Well, that must have been a quick fix.
I had to run at the house, pick something up.
I was gonna say, man, they get their money to worth out of you. You fix your stuff that quick, but it. I guess I didn't hear you say you were going to the house. Well, there you go.
Yep. Well, I'm going a slightly different way to Kalkaska today. Usually I take supply and then 131 north, but I figured I'll take 72 because this one works a little bit further on M72.
Yeah, it's going to be another warm one then today, I think. This cold front's supposed to be moving through this afternoon or something. I think it's supposed to, temperatures are supposed to drop off a little bit. I only have 76 right now in Flint.
Yeah, they're saying a high of 77 here in Travers. It's already 75. But I guess it's supposed to rain, so.
Yeah, well, we could use some more rain. Everything's starting to shrivel up, lack of rain. Problem is, when it rains, it downpours, and that's no good either.
I'm going to take all of the rain that we can get right now, because holy cow, is it dry down here, or up here, actually.
Definitely a lot better than it was on Saturday, holy cow.
Oh, that was just straight stupid, dude. That was terrible.
Did not enjoy that. Glad we were able to get down when we got down, though. That was, that was good, even with that heat.
Just say thank God for R22 and, a shelter at Levering.
Yeah, no kidding. Hopefully Adam can get a thermostat into Mackinac to make that one so it stays reasonable.
Yeah, it just sucks that it's password locked, so you can't disable the lead lag, because that would be the easiest thing to do, but, you know. Oh, well.
Well, person could do is just swap the controls in there, one or the other one, so it's the lead.
Well, the issue is it switches between the two units, so when you lose a unit, it still tries to do the lead lag, which I think is stupid. They should have programmed it so if one of the units goes down, it just uses the one until you fix it. It should be automatic, but I guess that didn't happen.
I guess I didn't know it swapped. On the fly. So, yeah, that's no good. Definitely be the easiest to just put a thermostat in there on the one that works and be done with it.
Yeah, and use one of those smart ones so we can see the temperature and adjust everything remotely. So, wish we could do that at Hackleberg, but Hackleberg is a mini split system when the thermostat is a battery powered remote.
I just helped replace the motor in the AC unit at Guilford there last night. There's actually three units in there. There's an old conventional, so it's outside the forced air type. And then there's two that hang on a wall that are big units. I don't know, they gotta be 3-ton units. They don't work as well. Number one, number two, they're only 4 feet apart, so they should have mounted one on one side of the building and one on the other side, but they didn't do that. Tends to get warm in there when the air conditioner goes down. It don't take very long either. Within like 5 minutes, it's up to 90 degrees.
Yikes, that sounds like some poor insulation. The AC at Crossroad is an old package unit. You can stick them on a roof or whatever, like stuff you see at stores or larger buildings. It's one of those smaller package units that's sitting right on the side of the building, and it's got a big old duct that just blows air in there. And I'll tell you what, that sucker works, man. It gets cold in there.
It's not a matter of insulation. It's a block building, but it's a matter of there's a couple of big transmitters in there and then a digital transmitter, and yeah, there's... You wouldn't believe the amount of heat that transmitter for HNN puts out. It almost should have been set up with some kind of water-cooled heat exchanger. Throw that heat outside.
Yeah, I can see why you would want three ACs in that building. Well, I imagine you wouldn't have to use the heat in the wintertime.
No, lack of heat is never an issue.
Yeah, the shack that we've got for the Cherryland repeater, the 86, that's shared with Black Diamond now, and it's just got a little translator in there. 250 watt GRP. It doesn't put out a lot of heat, but oh my god, the fans are horrendously loud. I don't understand why they need to be that loud. It's not like it's pushing out a whole lot of heat. Most of the air that's coming out of there is actually decently cool. It's just obnoxious.
Talked about, the old one has an exhaust fan right over top of the transmitter, but the only problem with that is if you suck all that air out, you have to have makeup air coming back in, and you're just bringing all that humidity back in the building. So unless you have it set up just on the transmitter fins, which, you know, really probably that's where it should be, it doesn't really help. You're sucking all that humidity in, so then you got to deal with humidity. One's at 72. One's at 72, one's at 73. They're both off. It says it's 70 in there, and the big one said it's 68. So right now it's handling all the heat. That's a good thing.
NAWRO. Good to hear you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm on vacation this week. Signing up, and my wife wants the small baby clothes, but we're keeping what we're not, and donate the rest kind of thing.
Yeah, I do remember you're on vacation. I just couldn't remember your schedule. Because we had a little bit of the weather come in yesterday, if you were at the Armada Fair or not, but I think not yesterday.
No, it's too expensive. I might go tomorrow, though, because one of my quote-unquote kids is in the demolition derby, so I want to go watch him race.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I do enjoy the one they have here at Good Old Days, too, so that's an idea.
Yeah, they didn't hire me for anything or ask me to do it, so, you know, no real point of going up there, but, you know, because I don't get free admission, so it's like $5 a park and $10 a person now.
at least. It's been quite some time since I've gone. And, yeah, if you add the parking and the admission, and, you know, it's a good time, but, you know, we're kind of more associated with good old days here. So lately I've just been doing that.
Yeah, I don't think he raced the good old days, but he's got the car somewhat up and running. Oh, it's good old days this weekend.
Good old days is the second weekend in September.
Well, maybe I go up there. I think he's racing. He'll probably race if the car still lives.
Well, correction on that. It is the 6th, or 4, 5, and 6. And the 7th is the Sunday, is the big parade. So it would be the first weekend in September. On the 6th, though, that is our picnic for ARPSC. So I'm going to have to see if I can get a few hours in the middle of the day there, 11 to 1, to try to get down to Metro Beach.
Also arriving at September 6th at Metro Beach. Cool.
Pretty sure I got that right. At first, I didn't know if I was going to be able to go, but, I might be able to fit it in, and I got some family members here, so I might catch a few of those. Hey, let's go get some free burgers and dogs at Metro Beach, eh?
Yeah, that sounds like fun. It's probably just going to be my wife. I'm not sure if my daughter's going to be working weekends or not. I mean, currently she is not, but... And right now, the situation with my son, I don't know if he's going to even participate, because I just laid some stuff out on the line, and I don't think he likes the response.
Dad's got to do what Dad's got to do. I hear you.
Well, I cover the cost of insurance for both kids' vehicles and also for their cell phones, and only one is paying me right now, and there's a little tip between both siblings, and when I'm sitting back here doing finances, I'm like, I just put my foot down, so it's like, either you can pay me for this or pay me for that, or you go find your own stuff, because I'm done paying for it.
I hear you. There comes a time that has to be done. I did cut that string a while back. Quite some time ago now, but it is interesting because our cell phones are all lined up. We have sequential phone numbers, and still to this day they kept their same numbers. They're paying for it, but same phone numbers. It's kind of funny.
Well, it's not. I mean, the one phone is like $5, $10, but the other ones are like $25. I mean, line charges, $20 for a line charge plus $5 for money, whatever it is. So it's not that much. But, one of them is like $60 a month that they give me a phone, and I'm like, you need to start paying me with that. I covered it then when you guys had two jobs, now you only got one job, so, I can't be lenient anymore. I mean, too stressful.
It is definitely not unreasonable, in my humble opinion. Hey, I'm looking at the dashboard, and I think I was monitoring it. We got some more repeaters on. It looks like Traverse City is up. Munson Hospital must be. Interesting.
Say the least. I'm going to have to get a new list then and put them in there.
Well, I was going to ask if there's ever a chance you might be sent to Traverse City. If so, you've got a repeater. And I know there's another one, too. I'm trying to look for it. It's on the dashboard, if you take a look. Well, alrighty, Tom. I'm putting a document together. I'm going to post it in Discord if Dave's okay with it. We got the October set coming up pretty quick. Going to be, I believe, on the 5th October, so basically we don't have any October time to get ready for it, so we're already in August. It's coming up fast. I'm looking forward to it. No problem. Will do. And another tidbit of news, I got a Winlink email from Aaron at St. Clair, and he did make some improvements on their access point up there, although I haven't been able to hit it with the Yaesu here base. But I did order one of those, whatever they're called, AIOL things you had for your HT, and I'm going to see how that works. So I'm going to That should be delivered sometime later this week, so then I might make a trip up north, slightly up north, and see if that works to hit their gateway at their EOC.
Yeah, let me know when you do that, and I'll bring my call, put mine online. Right now, I'm sitting in the back of one of the computer.
All right, will do. We'll talk later. This is NAWRO, Richmond, after you.
73, my friend. NAWRO from CDHK Development.
W8, BBA, mobile, monitoring.
W8FU. All right, what's the easiest way to get change for a 20 these days?
Who'd you call?
W8FU.
Oh, yeah? Well, F you.
Yeah. Hey, I got those two files. Somebody just sent them to me.
Cool.
Let you know if they work. Gotta be a ditty.
Okay, I'm back. I been battling with stuff here, but I'm finally on the road.
I don't suppose you would if you weren't in on it.
But I do know the person I'm looking for isn't listening. That much I know. WAW.
If you're looking for me, I've got the radio on in the background, but I didn't hear anybody call for me. WAWCY.
Nope. Out here in Waterford, by the Waterford Trailer Mart, where they're wheeling and dealing. But anyhow, that was specifically for somebody who's clearly not listening.
You're out of my neck of the woods. You're not looking for me, are you? Casey, it is good to you.
Negative. Nope. I am just stopping at the Waterford Police Department. And then after that, I'm going to go see my buddy over at Pontiac Lake and Scott Lake.
Oh, Waterford Police, to turn off their encryption for me.
Okay, there we go. I was tempted to go see my buddy, but I gotta get moving.
Yeah, you must have been out of the car. I told you while you were there to tell Waterford to turn off their encryption for me.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. they got used to not being able to be listened to with the broken sky, and they demanded encryption, so, but you're just at the vanguard. You're going to start seeing everybody dropping pretty soon. There ain't going to be nobody listening to nobody.
Yep, I know. They're 20 years late on getting on the Apple 25 system. Oh, well, I guess there's other stuff to listen to. There's a lot of analog stuff floating around that I catch when I'm searching around, driving around.
Yeah, back in the good old days, man, it was pretty cool. We'd have shortwave, which was just loaded, chock full of cool stuff to listen to. Tons of fun. You know, the AM and FM DXing was great. Good quality AM and FM. Then when you got the VHF and UHF, all sorts of cool stuff to listen to. It was good times, man, good times. But now, shortwave's all but dead. All you got is Brother Spare being broadcast over and over and over again. A couple of little odds and ends here and there, but mostly just boring. The ham bands, but just by a, you know, we got the best equipment ever, too. And up on you used to have to listen to cellular, not officially, but if you were so inclined. Now you can't listen to nothing. Oh, well. I guess that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember clipping a diode in my radio shack scanner.
Arsenal Harley-Davidson? When did that change names? Shows you how long it's been since I've been out here.
I don't know if I made it. I think I lost it for a minute.
Yeah, you've been spotty. You dropped out on that last one. Then I heard, am I making it? Or I don't know if I'm making it. But it's not great.
Yeah, I was saying 46 megahertz cordless devices back in the day, 49 megahertz, and then there was the low band skip, CDs to skip the current deal.
Yeah, that's right, TV. You were able to get that. Analog. My ICOM 7000, it'll do TV. the old analog TV, but not no more. So, anywho, just all the direction we're moving in. I have been along this Pontiac Lake Road here, coming in to my buddy's house from the north.
Yeah, I'm actually out here too. I got a couple stops out in Clarkson, Waterford before I head home.
This all looks vaguely familiar, but by the same token, not. I think I've been in and around here. Okay, there's the water tower. I know where I'm at. Usually north of where I am.
All right, I'll let you figure out where you're going there. I'll be listening. Casey, it has it.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think I just keep going here and I'll hit Scott Lake. That's what I'm looking for. Once I hit that, I know exactly where I am. I'm pretty sure that's the next stop. All right, later. W8FU.
WDKLL.
Well, I just found the road I was looking for. That means that my turn is right here, and I will be at my destination, as the lady in the radio says. So I will say hi and bye as I'm destinated. W8FU.
Hello, Sean. You're destinated. I guess we'll say hi and bye. W8FU. WDDDDKLL.
KC8TWJ listening.
W8FU. Good afternoon. Guten Tag, yeah. Just bagged out early today, but I had to go out to Waterford, so I'm just on my way home from Waterford. You on your way home from Waikipu? Is that where you got your tent from for the Jenny? And yeah, I'm trying to get on 53, but I don't know what the hell is going on. There's traffic everywhere. Well, we'll see. 413, I'm telegraph approaching Square Lake, so we'll see how my travel goes. But I think most people are going north, so I'm lucky I'm going south. Traffic should be okay. And yeah, the folks out here were in Waterford, and they wanted to meet at the Waterford Police Department. So So I met up with them, picked up my Gen tent, and then I visited with my friend out here, not 2 miles from the police department, so paid him a visit. Just leaving there now. It all makes sense now. That's what the ATM trip was for this morning. Yuppers, exactly. So I wanted to get one of these because last time I had it out, it was kind of, I switched everything. I used to have it in my garage, and then I had I had my gas ran out there, my electrical and all that, and I switched it all. The inlet's on the back of the house now, and the gas is piped straight out the back of the house, and I'm going to double up using that for barbecue and stuff. So, but now the generator kind of sits out when I roll it out. And, so the weather's inclement, so I thought, I'm going to get one of these. And I was looking at the price, they're like $200. Well, they started about $160, and then they go up from there. For the one that I got, the Extreme, it's like $200. And, I'm like, I ain't paying that for an umbrella for my generator. Yeah, that seems excessive. Is it anything special, or is it, I mean, could you have gotten by? I mean, you got a good deal on it. Matter, but I was wondering if you could just get one of those, like, what do they call them? Like canopies, like for tailgating and picnics and all that crap. What if you just got one of those and lowered it down enough? So I haven't looked at it, you know, because this is brand new, sealed in the box. This guy got it with his generator, and he says he doesn't need it because his generator stays in his garage. So it was brand new in the box, and he sold it to me. I got it for $75. And, that I'll do, right? And now looking at the website, I haven't looked at it yet to see, you know, does this thing, but it's got like it almost looks like a tent frame, you know, how they got they got some clamps that are designed to go on the rails of your generator, and then you have almost like a hoops tent frame, and then this pulls over the top of it with some, it's got like an access zipper for, you know, refilling and other various stuff, so. It looks like a well-thought-out product. They sell a lot of them. I still think, you know, pushing $200 is pricey. We'll see when I get it out of the box. That's a product I didn't know existed until this morning. I'm going to have to look that up. I mean, I'm sure if you're leaving it outside for a period of time, like events and stuff, or, you know, we have an extended power outage, yeah, that makes sense, because that's one thing I did notice, and I was like, man, my GFI is probably going to trip because there's water all over the plugs and the cables. Yeah, we'll see. I'll let you know. And, I'll give it a thumbs up or not. And I guess you can get, like, skirts for it, you know, for, like, you know, storage. You know, so you can cover it, because it's kind of like an umbrella, you know, and, it really doesn't cover down the sides, you know, couldn't, right, it's got to breathe, but they do sell, like, connect, you know, sides that connect up for, like, you know, when you store it, so that it's got more of a full cover. We'll see, you know, whether I do that or not, but, the things we buy, right, what the heck is that? Somebody's got about a 12-inch red streamer or something coming out of their door. It's got to be like a dress, a belt dress or something. Huh. As you were explaining what it is, I was just thinking, it's like there's a gadget for everything, it seems like. There's always some way to accessorize something. I know, right? Like, I get this generator, and I do some reading. The first thing I found out is you got to get a magnetic drain plug for it, or a magnetic dipstick. You know, you got to get a magnetic dipstick. I'm like, okay, so I don't know why. If you really got to get one, why don't they come with it? They're cheap, so I got that the other day. Got my magnetic dipstick, and now I got my, you know, and then the cord. You know, you got to go get a good cord, so I actually harbor freight at that. I'm not proud of that fact, but it seems pretty well made. I did the Vivor from Home Depot, so I got the inlet box and the cord, or the cable, whatever it's called. It's like a, maybe a 15, 20-footer. I can't remember the length. I think it's 15-footer.
nothing crazy, but the 30-amp whip, and it was like $79 for both. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah, that sounds right. I just got the cord, and I think my cord's a little longer than 15. I don't know. I'd have to check. But it was just the cord. It was like $50. And I had the inlet box that came with that transfer switch. I think I mentioned to you, I didn't realize it was 20 amp. I had a 20 amp, 6 circuit box, and that was mostly adequate for us. You know, to run my 2 refrigerators, my blower motor on my furnace, and everything electronics we needed around the house. But we couldn't do a coffee maker or microwave or the toaster. You know, those, we just had to live without those, which was a small sacrifice when the power's out. But when I had to get a new generator, I said, you know what, I'm going to buy just a little so that I can run any one of those things. The coffee maker in particular, that's the one I really wanted. And that was probably the biggest pain on extended outages was coffee. So now we can run the coffee maker or the microwave or the toaster. And I don't think I would try 2 of those things, but we can certainly, anyone doesn't even hardly break a sweat. You can hear it bog a little bit, you know, but everything works just perfectly fine. You can tell you turned on one of them big devices because it changes the pitch a little. But so I had a 20 amp, now I got the 10 circuit, 30 amp, and that's perfectly fine. So, anywho, I would like to switch to the, like you, on the load side, on the supply side. And, like, you know, I got all the stuff that didn't work, so why?
Give me 1 second, I got a call coming in, NADBF. Alright, sorry about that. Anyway, you said you wanted to switch to something load side. I'm sorry.
No, that was good timing. I had a call come in at 10-2.
So almost perfect. It was like.
What was I saying? Oh yeah. So I've got the load side distribution panel. You know where I pick X number of circuits. We've talked about it. I'd like to go supply side or meter side, I should say. And, with something like you're doing, I think the way I'd like to do it is I'd like to have, like, a manual transfer switch outside with a, you know, with a, maybe a 50-amp inlet, 30 or 50, I guess either one would be fine. And then my generator has both 30 and 50-amp ports, so I could run a 50-amp or I could run a 30-amp. I'm going to have to see if I can run them both at the same time. But anyhow, I'd like to go with like a manual transfer switch with an inlet there, all on the outside, and that way all I got to do is just fire it up, jack it in, whack, flip the switch.
I think the issue you would have outside, well, I mean, unless you were disconnecting into the basement first or wherever your panel's at, but yeah, I mean, that's from what I've gathered from a few electricians I've talked to, I did it the right way, minus the fact that I didn't include the safety measure, which, like I said, it's my buddy. I got to get him to do it. He said he was going to do it. It's a whole thing, and we haven't used it since, so it's not like it's, we're not freeballing it, but I like the convenience of it, right? I turn off my main. I turn off all of my breakers. I flip the switch for the feed, and then I just turn on what I want. In a perfect world, there's that disconnector, right? So if the main's on, I can't turn on the generator and vice versa.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing the same thing. The problem is my box does not support. Nobody makes a lockout for my box. The way it's configured, the mains is nowhere, you know. It's just the way it's laid out and everything like that. You can't really do that with mine. I've looked at it. It's a Bryant, which I think, you know, and then I've heard, you know, I've heard that those breakers are not great. Just, I don't know. It's probably why I got a deal on it. I'm assuming I got a deal on it. That's why I picked it. But I have thought about swapping out my entire service panel. And if I did that, I would absolutely get one, you know, with a, you know, with that kind of a setup, that kind of an arrangement. You know, if you do the whole house, you know, and have the whole damn thing flip over live, you know, then you've got to make serious considerations about your, you know, what's your startup voltage, you know, and you probably got to start putting soft start on, you know, if the air is on there, I don't know, you got a real problem, but. If you're just going to whack it over, you know, without turning circuits on individually, that's got to be a thing too, right? It has to be calculated. I think if the air of the furnace wasn't running, you could probably cut it over without really much of any issue. Everything's LED now. Everything's, you know, just super efficient, yada, yada, yada. I have a guy, it's the same guy, but I don't pay him, so if you're interested in, you know, a referral or getting a quote, I can get you in contact with him, and he can talk you through it. He's good at what he does, and, yeah, I don't ever intend on just cutting it, right, hitting my main and then flipping the generator feed. I think I would probably not maybe turn off all of them, but systematically go through there and kill the ones that I know are going to be high draw. Know, washer and dryer, even though I have a gas dryer, and then the AC. I really can't think of anything else in the house except for my desk, which, again, it's a laptop, some monitors, and some LEDs, so even then, that shouldn't be too bad.
Should have got off at 14 mile. Soon as I crested the hill going over a 14 mile road, it's just bumper to bumper lights, and I got to get to 12 now. Anyhow, just as far as the eye can see, God darn it. I don't know. I don't know what I'd want in a perfect world. You know, I like what I got. You know, it's pretty simple. I do have to go to the basement. You know, and then you know I fire up the generator, I check it in, and then I go downstairs and I just, you know, click over my circuits. It's the same thing as flipping yours off, flipping yours on. So, really, I would gain nothing in convenience doing it, any other way. So, that's I just bought that. I got a really smoking hot deal on that 10-circuit, 30-amp load side transfer panel, so I'm not in a big hurry to replace it. I probably won't. And it works so darn well. So, anywho, all right, what's going on here? Why is everybody pinching to the left here? So we got an accident. God darn it. Southbound 75, approaching 13 mile.
NADDF. You know, I was just thinking the same thing. I crested, what is that, like 31 mile road on 53 north. And it was backed up about a mile. I don't know why. And I have to go, I don't know, 14 more miles north. Anyway, I don't think you're really gaining anything. The only reason I could see a justification to upgrade would be if you wanted to add more circuits, right? Like if your 10 are full and you want to add two more, what do you do? I'm sure there's a way to rig it, but then, you know, you're playing with fire. And as much as I like efficiency and hands-off and streamline, when I lose power the few times I've had to do it, it's not really too much of a chore. And to me, it's kind of gratifying. It's like, look, we're prepared. No big deal. Pull the generator out, kill the breakers, start the generator, plug it in, yada, yada. You know, it depends on the situation, sure, right? I, in a perfect world, I've got a Generac outside. I lose power. I don't even realize I lost power because 30 seconds later, the generator turns on and it's all done.
You know, I don't like those. I've just had a bad, you know, all my generators with the automatic transfer and all that stuff that I use for work have been nothing but trouble, and
very costly. So many of the people I know that have these whole house natural gas generators with the automatic transfer switches, they have big costly repairs. You know, I mean, you'll find the guy that'll say, oh, I never did. You know, I've had mine for, you know, 6 months, and I haven't had a single problem with it, you know. You'll always find that guy. But I've just heard too many people, it didn't start, it didn't run, it didn't transfer, it didn't this, it didn't that, and none of it's serviceable by you. You got to get somebody in for the whole thing. You know, with mine, nothing can really go wrong in the manual transfer panel. It's, you know, knock on wood, that's bulletproof. And so really all that can happen is your generator doesn't start or run. You know, well, if I need to, I can run the Home Depot and have another one, and within an hour I'm up and running. You know, I mean, unless it's like the blackout where, you know, there was a run on them. But, you know, that's completely serviceable by me if it don't work.
I don't disagree. I mean, if I was, like my neighbor, for example, right, she's a 75-year-old widow, lives out by me, you know, no one really around her except for me now, and what's she going to do? She's going to go drag a 100-pound generator out, plug it in, pull start it, and get it ready, you know, go in the basement, flip the breakers. There's a use case, or mission-critical instances like you've got, right, where you're not on site, there's nobody on site, and you've got multiple, what are you going to do? I'm in the same school of thought, you know, $1,000, $1,500, you got the setup, and A, it's portable, B, it's serviceable, and at that point, too, in comparison to $8,000 to $10,000 for an installed whole home unit, what do you really have to lose?
Did we have another comment in there? Join the conversation, but yeah, that's the way I think about it, but maybe others have a different perspective. Who else was in there?
WATF, I had a quote from Generac. They wanted $18,000.
Yowza, how many KW was that bad boy?
I believe it was a 60 kilowatt, I believe it was. And the price that they quoted did not include moving my meter, replacing the meter, the gas meter that the company provides. It says the supply line and the meter didn't meet probably the standard, so that was an extra cost. So I bought myself a Honda E7000, weighs 268 pounds empty. I'm 84 and I'm still able to push it to the backyard and easily use the unit. That's my comment. I got to get out of here. I'm just listening to you guys. Name is Dick. I'm in Warren and North End, 73 WATX.
Just real quick, did you say Dex, like short for Dexter, Dex?
I don't think I did. I'm not sure what you caught there.
Your name, sir.
I'm sorry.
All right, you got quite noisy on that last one. If you're in Warren, there's a repeater on this system in Warren. You should be able to clobber 442.6. Anyhow, nice hearing you, and boy, that's a price. There you go, Dakota. That's double what you said, but they're certainly more expensive. I mean, it's nice, you know, like you said, use case, you know, just to have that when it's all working, to have it just kind of like automatically, you know, fire up and just transfer over. It's great, but I've seen too many circumstances where that's what you expect, but that ain't what you get.
And to add to that cost, too, there's the yearly maintenance, right? So same buddy that helps me out, he used to, when he started out, he did oil changes on those. He did all the annual service for these things. So go out there, do the oil change, fire it up, make sure it works, make sure there's output. And that's another cost you have to incur to maintain the thing, which isn't a big deal if you already spent the money to put it in, but it's just one more thing, right? Versus we can wheel ours out, pull the cord, and it starts, all right, good, put it away. So, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be a point in my life where I'm like, all right, we're just going to put a Generac in. I'm done messing with this, but I'm far from it, and, you know, so are you. So, it's a low cost in comparison to ensure that you've got power. And again, it's portable, so if a buddy needs it, and I've got power, or my parents, or whatever, I can throw it in the truck as heavy as it is, and that's it. Take it there.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and say that, and I was going to say, and then, of course, you know, it's portable. So, you know, if I don't need it, and that happened to us. I remember a friend of mine was, his mother was quite ill, and his father had passed, and he lived not far, but he would come sit with his mother and you know, take care of her and stuff like that. And one time they lost power, and she had stuff that had to be refrigerated, you know, some diabetic medications and a machine for breathing and stuff. And he was quite concerned, and I'm like, you know, yeah, we just loaded up the generator, took it over there and got him going and, you know, got him through. So it's nice like that. And that would probably be one of, I'd say probably, it's been at least 6-7 times over the years where a generator went from, you know, one person to get another person, you know, through something in my life. I know, we got a hell of an accident. Oh, boy, it looks like a motorcycle fatality. Oh, boy. Madison Heights, 12-mile in the Quinner area, some sort of two-wheeled vehicle. And all sorts of chalk and tape and numbers. Looks like they might be chopping off for a fatality. Ooh.
Yeah, I'll stick to my four wheels. I haven't seen too many accidents lately, and people just don't want to drive. But yeah, the generator, the portable too. I mean, in a pinch, you could always make a suicide cord too for people that don't have the setup to run stuff.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. Yep. I remember. I think that's what we did with my dad one time. Jeppers, it's, they're nice to have. You know, that's the best part. You know, that's, I got to run it, you know. I got this inverter one now. I like that it's tri-fuel and I can run it off the natural gas. That's sweet. And you can convert. I didn't catch it. I think yours is not natural. I got a conversion kit for mine from this U.S. carburetor. It was easy to install, and mine has been running on, my gas Generac has been running on nothing but natural gas for 20 years with a $250 kit from a U.S. carburetor.
Mine is not the dual fuel or tri-fuel or whatever, it's just gas. How much did it run you to have, like, a valve put in, or put out, I guess I should say?
You mean the gas supply for the house? Yeah, we won't talk about that. Yeah. Me and my son did it.
Yeah, that's my fear, right? I can figure my way out. I figured out plumbing, and I've gotten real damn good with toilets lately, and putting pipes together. The only thing I don't know how to do yet is sweat pipe, which fortunately I have packs in my house, so I don't have to deal with that. Yeah, that's my fear, right, is I gotta do that, or I gotta pay someone probably a good amount of money to do that.
I think you'd be surprised at, you know, how easy it is. You know, really the question is how far do you gotta run it? You know, that's the key. If your gas meter or is not terribly far, because there's pressure and the pipe sizes and you got to have the right amount, you know, and all that stuff, but that's going to be the key. But the actual doing it is not that big a deal. It depends. You know, it really depends on your particular circumstances. You know, is the pipe, you know, all behind the wall, which, you know, or, you know, is it in the crawl or... You know, that's going to make a difference, but anywho, it's not that bad.
Conveniently enough, it's
driveway right where my power comes in and right where the inlet is. So, I mean, I would have to put a T in and it would be about 3 feet total worth of pipe.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, somebody that's good with pipe, make sure that, you know, it seals is, which is not difficult. You know, you would just, you know, probably there's probably a pipe, you know, a 90, you know, coming off that meter. Make sure you do it on the pay side and take the 90 out and put a T in there. And then you could put a stub on. If it's 3 foot, you don't even need to. You just put a nipple on the end there, a valve and a nipple there, and then you know, that's, you just, your gas line will be 20 foot, so you just run the gas line to the generator right over to that nipple. That's used to be a 90, now it's a T with a valve.
I'll have to weigh all this fall and see how we do. I'm in the middle of nowhere with no trees, so I think that's my saving grace. When I lived in the village, there was trees everywhere, and every time we got any wind, stuff, you know, old trees, big trees, so there's all kinds of crap in them. And anytime we got any sort of wind or storm, power would go out, whether it was for 15 minutes or 5 hours, and it was always the result of a tree on a line. But now, as I'm driving now, even there's all these lines, there's the big industrial ones, they're up, you know, 100 feet, 50, 60 feet, and then even above that, so I really don't have to worry about it, but, it, you know, it is something that I want to have prepared for, because, you know, they did work at the substation not too long ago. That was a couple-hour outage, just little things like that. But, yeah, accumulating the things that you're actually on that stuff like $5.25 a gallon.
Well, the biggest thing a couple of big things. One, you never have to worry. You know, you never have to worry about gas in any way, whether it's too old, whether it's been stabilized, whether it's, you know, whether you got enough, whether you can get it, you know, and all that stuff. You know, by having the hookup to the natural gas, you know, it's real simple. And then once you've converted over to natural, it's usually pretty simple. It's just a regulator to allow you to do propane, because propane's higher pressure. Natural gas is real low pressure. So there's usually a low pressure diaphragm for the compressed natural gas, and then there's a higher pressure. So usually there's another regulator that goes in line with the propane. And the cool thing is, you know, everything stays squeaky clean. If I can never run my new generator with a drop of petrol, I'll be fine. If I got to take it somewhere, I'm looking currently for like a 40-pounder. I think a 40-pound pig would be great. And if you get like a 40-pounder, and, you know, and then if I ever want to take that thing portable, I can just flip the switch and run it propane. And then when it's at home, it'll run natural gas. You know, in a pinch, I could run the propane. You know, so, and, you know, I mean, I got the ability to run gas if I had to, but, if I don't ever run gas in the thing, I'll not lose a minute's sleep. My, Generac used to run gas for a little bit until I converted it, and I converted it over, like, very shortly after I got it, and it's been running, natural gas propane, for well over 20 years, so. Love that. All right, I just pulled up at home. I will stick around for any closing thoughts and then catch you in a bit when I get inside, if you're still on the road. After yours, W8FU.
Good timing. I'm pulling up to my gas station. I need some Gatorade. So, yeah, I'm kind of jealous of that, actually, because I remember when I bought my generator, I bought a crappy can that I had so I could fill it up on the way home and not have to grab my can and come back. And a 5-gallon can, all I did was cover my brand new, never fired up generator, to the point where I had to wash it off with gas because of these stupid EPA regulated can pour without spilling everywhere gas can. But all righty, I'll talk to you in the morning. N8DVS.
Alpha Alpha 8, Romeo Kilo.
Hey, DOH. 88RK. Hey, 88RK. Good afternoon, NADOH.
NADOH, 88RK. Name's Ralph.
just dropped a couple of people off at the airport in Traverse and headed back to Petoskey. How are you doing today? Oh, not too bad, sir. I got off a little early from work, and I'm just playing around here on the computer now. Real good. I'm in traffic. Although, somewhere along here, there's a fruit stand I want to stop at. We'll be in Petoskey for another few days. And I just set the radio on scan and picked this repeater up. Yeah, I ended up tying it into the MI-1 hub with Central Michigan Emergency Network, so it's better than it sitting here doing a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, roger, roger. I heard about MI-5. I just heard about MI-1 and 2. I guess they have some new repeaters up by, up somewhere west, actually, from, west of Petoskey. East, excuse me, east of Petoskey on MI-1 and 2. Are those part of the CMIN group?
Yes, they are. Yeah, the one you're talking about, the ones you're talking about, the MI-2 is the 145-31 that's in Mackinac City, and then there's the 444-600, which is in Levering.
Well, Chuck Bruin, the emergency group, just moved some stuff over to Levering.
Yep, I was up there on Saturday. We got three machines on the air. The, the 3-1, the 4-600, and then the, there's an MI-5 machine, the 444-625. That's, those, the CUHF machines are at Levering, and then the VHF at Mackinac City. And, it was a really warm day, but we got it done.
Yeah, you bet. I understand, worked pretty hard. I thought about going up to help out. One, it was going to be a long day, and two, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, it'll have that. But anyway. Yep. So, I don't really have a whole lot more to add here. I've just been kind of just sitting here and relaxing after work.
I understand that exactly. Just point of information, Chuck Scott, NADNX, was my brother-in-law.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool. I never did get to meet Chuck personally, because he passed just before I got super involved up there.
Okay, we're good. Well, thanks for your help. You know, I'm a member of the Charlevoix Sheboygan Emmett Group email list just to find out what's going on up there, but, you know, I'm not up here much. For a while, it looked like I was going to be up here on field day, but those plans got changed by for a series of unfortunate events.
Hey, I'll see that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you guys get permission to link Northern.
again.
Yeah, I was asking, did you guys get permission to link northern Michigan up to southern Michigan?
No, not exactly, but it's just my single repeater here, and I work pretty closely with Jeff and whatnot, so I had talked to him on it this morning, and he didn't have a problem with it.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes we get folks that will link the two together, and they just, you know, they're new to All-Star and all that. So, all right, sorry about that. Just wanted to make sure. KFADA.
The Lincoln's all taken care of. You don't really need to worry about that. The UHF repeater and the VHF repeater that's in Mackinac and Levering are part of Central Michigan Emergency Network. And Drake's part of the group, so as far as the Lincoln, the Northern, or something, you don't have to worry about that, Dave. Anyway, SWR.
I wasn't familiar with the voices. So, carry on. Sorry about that. Can't see that. I'll be clear.
Hey, is that you, Jeff?
I've been listening here, Ralph. Go ahead.
You're everywhere.
Clarify that there, it wasn't a problem. So, go ahead, Drake. Give it up from here.
Well, he's everywhere. No matter where I go, Jeff's always there.
Yeah, roger, roger. I talked to him about that on Thursday. And, so, he's going to have, it's not Zoom, it's a regular event. So, real good. 888 RK Mobile.
Whereabouts are you at, Ralph?
Wow, north of Traverse City. So is entering Elk Rapids, that's what it says.
Okay, that explains a little bit of crackle there. You're still doing pretty good for being up that way. So, whereabouts near Petoskey are you from?
I'm not. Chuck moved over, moved to Petoskey in 91. His brothers followed him for a while and then moved back down. But I've been in Ann Arbor since 1969, so you might say I'm from there.
Oh, okay, that makes sense now. Okay. Well, good deal. Hey, at least you're coming down here when it's not too crazy.
Crazy. The art fair there is crazy. Sidewalk sales of the art fair in Charlevoix are a piece of cake.
Oh, yeah, I've done that drive many times. I was actually up there, over the weekend, but trying to remember if I had to go up there. Yeah, I went up there, about a week ago for a work call, and right down downtown Petoskey is always, it's always fun.
Okay, real good. Well, I'm at farm stand number one here, so I'm going to stop and, see what they got. Thanks for the chat. 73 NADNH88RK.
Sounds good. 73 NADNH Traverse City.
I was on the phone. Drake, where did Ralph say he was at?
Oh crap! It's
too far for Levering.
Oh yeah, that's way too far for Levering. got flight to Elk Rapids. AARJ.
Okay. Just curious. Nice hearing you on the system. Well, even if you're way up yonder, I'm way down here, so. Glad it's working. Making new friends. Keep it up there.
Alpha Alpha 8, Romeo Kilo.
ACLP.
After 5 hours, it looks like I have Wi-Fi and internet again, which means my node is working. W8RCY.
Traverse City. sunny and 77 degrees. Can't complain.
Oh, well, down here in Genesee County, it's been stormy and raining for the last hour and a half, basically. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon, either.
I believe that's what they call liquid sadness.
Oh, well, we needed it anyway, so it was getting a little dry around here. But, alrighty there, sir. Have a good journey home, and I'm going to go back on the side listening here. Just wanted to throw out a little gust there for you. Have a good night. Camp 8 BLX.
Appreciate it. Have a good one, sir. N8DMH Mobile, Traverse City.
So why was your Wi-Fi out?
KE8BBD monitoring.
N8DMH from W8FU.
Say. Anywho, cool. I see something out of Traverse. What kind of machine you got up there? My name is Sean here, by the way, and I've been kind of, you'll see me in there on the Slack, kind of poking around.
That's an MTR 2000, and it's got a cat controller on it, so, and an ASL box attached to it. It's at the Munson Hospital in Traverse.
Ah, yes, I know it well. I had the unfortunate circumstances. I spent a evening there back in 1984, but I survived. very good. Sounds good. Heard it throughout the day, so I've got a Quantar down here, and it's on a hospital as well. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I moved it. It was. Now it's Green Air Hospital on a big tower. I don't know. I kind of like the hospital location better. Might go back. How do you hear the service, you know?
Hey, I like having this at the hospital because if this thing's down, either something melted or the world's on fire.
No, there's a lot to be said about that. And both my locations, where I'm at now and where I'm where I was, are like that. The power is if it's out, there's something really bad going on. But all right, very cool. Well, welcome. Like I said, I didn't have a chance. I've been working and running around and everything all day, and I just didn't have a lot of chance to jump in.
Yeah, good deal. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's something to be said for the reliability of the internet and power at hospitals. They can't really function without either of those things. So they try to make it ultra reliable, which is very helpful in this case. Except for when the roof crew unplugs the rack, the PDU going to the wall, because they need to power something on the roof. And after that happened, I put a lot of labels that says, do not touch.
Yeah, I had some stuff to do this afternoon, so I bagged out a little early, and I got some frantic texts, and we had some critical infrastructure go down, and it sounds like it was something similar. Workers decided something didn't need to be running. So, do you work in the biz? I've been kind of half listening and all that stuff. I know you were working with the boys up in is it Levison, Levison, whatever, it's upstate, I don't know, I'm a troll, but you climb or work in the biz or just curious?
A little bit of both. I've done some climbing at the Petoskey site, the Crossroad Tower. I don't really do it unless I absolutely have to. So, but we were over in Mackinac City, put the 3-1 there, same as the Guilford machine, and then we went to Levering, put 444.6 and 444.625 over there. We were very glad that the AC worked in that building.
Yeah, I'll bet. It was pretty hot, so. All right, well, hey, even a little climbing is cool. I can't. My contributions are firmly planted on the ground. Well, I mean, I'll go up, but I get about one ladder. I get about one ladder up, and I freak, so. That's how that is. What can I do? All right, I just wanted to say hi. It's Drake, I believe. My name is Sean, and like I said, I'll jump in here and say yo every now and again, mostly when I'm driving around. I just ran to the restaurant to get a late dinner and just got home with it. Machine's sounding really good. Catch you later. And be nice having one up that way. I'm going to be up that way not too terribly long to get the details in my radio, and that way I'll have some coverage. After yours, W8FU.
Sounds good, man, and I'll probably drop the info in the Slack here in a little bit. So, 7-3, have a good evening. And 8DMH, Traverse City.
KSA EDQ on the mobile.
KSA DRC and 8WJZ 600. And 8WJZ Cleveland, I'll be clear.
passing.
N8WJO, N8WJO, WB9CSP.
Yeah, Richard, I got you on that. Now, I can switch over to two L repeaters that's linked to this one in the Detroit area.
Yeah, try switching to one of the other ones. I want to see which one you sound the best on.
All right. Probably this one, but I'll switch over. Hold on.
Roger that. You are pretty noisy on that one. What's the next one you can go to? Roger that.
Y'all have a call sign?
Did you not just hear him say it? WB9CSP. N8WJL, WB9CSP. Hey, we have call signs, but the guy who asked us for our call signs, he didn't give his call sign. So I wonder, does he have a call sign?
Well, I don't very seldom get on this repeater. Let me see. This repeater is, dang, I forget whose repeater I'm on right now. Oh, man, I can't remember the call sign. But the other one, the Flying Beer, that's Sean's repeater. And his call is W8FU, I believe it is. Okay, N-A-W.
Yeah, WB9CSP. I've only heard about this system. I've never been on it, so I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah, I guess it is what it is, but I know you can get into a bunch of other stuff anyway, you know, if people don't like us talking out here.
It doesn't matter, Richard. I guess he's trying to feel like, you know, if we're doing something illegal, he wants to let it be known that you have to be licensed to be talking on him. But according to the rules and regulations, 95. You don't even have to come in with your call sign, but you have to identify every 10 minutes though.
Yep, I started back in 06. This is my second time being a ham. And yeah, I know what you mean. I can't remember how long you said you've been doing it, but the way I was taught is the beginning of your conversation every 10 minutes, and then when you go to sign off.
Well, you better look at that rule. You better look at that book again. You don't have to idea when you first come in, but you have to, most of them do identify when they first get in, but you don't have to, but you have to, and identify every 10 minutes when you get in there. So if you're talking, you get in there talking, 10 minutes, you got the ID.
Yeah. I do like the name of this, though. It's kind of a cool name for a repeater system, Flying Beer. I wonder what kind of beer it is. Heineken? Budweiser? It didn't specify.
Richard, come on now. Does it really matter?
To me, all beer tasted like, except Heineken.
You know I gotta poke around at the name a little bit. It's fun. That's what I like doing anyway, poking around at words. Not just the name of this place, but, you know, any place. Like, you know, up. Upper Peninsula. Is it gonna go down or go up?
Okay. This is... No, this is November 8th, Whiskey, Julia Lima. November 8th, we just landed. How about that?
Uh-huh, and you've got me, Whiskey Bravo 9, Chicago-style pizza.
I ain't never hear you that one there, Richard.
Well, it's got a full meaning, actually. I didn't just get the suffix. It's actually, we buy 9 Chicago-style pizzas.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Sounds good. I checked this lobby, see if anybody hit that mega tonight.
Yeah, what did you say, Jay? I think someone's up in their feelings and they're stepping on you on purpose.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, if it gets too bad, let me know. I can turn the beam right here on this repeater and turn the power up. Just let me know.
Yeah, you know, instead of being that guy, why don't you just put your call sign out there and join the conversation instead of, you know, being all upset about it. You know, we have call signs. Look us up on QRZ. We're legitimate. So, Jay, do you like this system? Is it nice?
Yeah, are you sure he's stepping on me? Because this repeater is in Detroit. This is, whose repeater is this? This is, dang, I forget, Sean? No, it's, he got this repeater. This one is in downtown Detroit. This is, dog, I forgot it. I ain't talked to him so long. He worked on Motorola radios and all that kind of stuff, too. I can't figure his name.
Yeah, I don't know how they have their all-star set up, but it might have been somebody else from a different repeater coming over top of you. I know that can happen on all-star a lot, but no, I can hear you good now.
Okay, okay. Well, all right, so which one? So you can get on this one? You can't get on the General Motors?
I don't know. I don't think I've tried that. Oh, wait, the General Motors? Yeah, I can get on that one if you want. I think we talked on that one night, too, and I know there's a couple guys that get on that one.
Well, how many can you get into in Michigan here?
Well, whatever's on Echolink, All-Star, or IRLP, usually I can get into those somehow. But if it's on RF, forget about it.
Oh, yeah, very good. All right, I got it. Well, all right, Richard, we're about an hour later than you, and I better call it a night. So I can get up sometime tomorrow and do it all over again. That's for sure. Yeah. I don't know what you got. So you set up an HF, or you have to go through the somebody's radio?
No, I'm just going through my All-Star stuff here at the house. Is what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Well, all right, Richard. I'm going to have to get on out of here. Call it a night. And I'm looking at this amplifier. Boy, I love it. Did you see that amplifier one?
The R in Italy? Yeah, I looked it up. That's pretty nice.
Okay, which one did you see? Because we got a couple of them.
Well, you didn't give me a specific model to look up, but yeah, I've seen most of those, WB9CSP.
Alright, NAWGLFID. Okay, well, yeah, they all nice, you know. Yeah, but I like that, that solid state. But they tell me you have to watch those solid states because they're easy to blow. But I might give it a chance. I may get it there. But anyway, Richard, I'm going to jump out of here and call it a night. And